Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 1. We will get rolling. I have much to say tonight and don't plan to keep you long, so I'm going to go fast and quick. Here we go, Galatians chapter 1. You know what? We're never going to leave this page in my Bible. My Bible's 1,400 pages. We're going to stay on the same page all night. Interest of time. None of this flipping around waiting for people so we can get it in. Now, there are some things that are amazing to me that have been preached about this ministry and from this ministry from its very beginning that are foundational and fundamental and the Bible would call elementary. And yet, disciple and not alike, repetitively, on and on, continue to forget them. And I'm amazed. But amen. I need to be amazed. I mean, we continue to forget them. Some preliminaries, please. Yes, you do not need to have a relationship with me in order to have a relationship with God. Amen. I thought we had that down. But you know, time and time again, disciple and non come to me and say, are you saying, brother, that the only people who can have a relationship with God are people in your group? You know, if I thought that or even uttered those words, pray for me that I may be restored one day because I have fallen away. That is nowhere in the Bible. Okay? You do not need to have a relationship with me to have a relationship with God. If I tick you off, drive you off, fall away and run you out, if you decide you got to hold on to the Bible and not to me, you can do it. It's got nothing to do with me. If I offered you something that had to do with me, what have I really offered you? Nothing. Other than what the world will offer you. It's like, I work for IBM. They'll never go out of business. Well, amen for your security. But you know, I don't sell that. I want you to have a relationship with God, and that got nothing to do with me, okay? That also allows me to be bold and speak freely to you, knowing that I can't ruin your relationship with God, because I am not about your relationship with God. You can have your relationship with or without me. Therefore, take what I give you for whatever it's worth, and let it be what it is, okay? Amen. There's some other stuff, though. You know, there is, when I turn all these places, you're in Galatians 1, and you're not leaving that page, okay? You may have to flip the page, depending how your Bible lays out, but amen. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says there's a total, grand total. Get the adding machine out, get the calculator, get the Whopper computer from War Games, and say, how many? There's one mediator between God and man. The man, Jesus Christ. Total one mediator. And I'm not that mediator. Stop trying to think that I'm trying to say that I am someone in the mix with you and your relationship with God. Bottom line is there's one mediator between you and God. This is elementary for us all. And we forget it. There's one mediator and it's Christ. It's not me. You know what? It's not the ministry. You know what? It's not the church. It's not the kingdom. The mediator is Jesus, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look it up. But that's it. I'm not confused. So when I get bold and get after people, when I get bold and honest and love you enough to get after you, I haven't forgotten the scriptures. I haven't abandoned what I've said all along from day one. It's not like, well, he seems to be now full of himself and think he's really something. Yeah, I haven't forgotten the scriptures. My sin can remind me if it's necessary, okay? So don't flip out when I'm coming after you and getting hard line with you, disciples, and none. Because I'm amazed how we've had to relearn that, relearn that, relearn that. Here's another thing. There's some relearning here. This is unbelievable. It is absolutely mind-boggling to me, and let me reveal it with you. People will ask me, worldwide now, who are the disciples of Jesus? And I'm like, you know, that is a fantastic question. You've got to be a fool to ask that question. You've got to be the dumbest person walking the earth to have that question and then to utter it shows you're doubly dumb. I'm telling you. You're asking me to share with you who worldwide the disciples of Jesus are. Is that the question? I mean, is that the question? Because I want to be clear, you know, I love how the Holy Spirit and Jesus answered questions with a question. I'm going to start answering that way, because I never do. I'm just kind of like, man, I'm just baffled. But that possibly ask me. You know, at midnight, you know, Shal and I aren't walking around waiting for the fax to ring and see if God has like a fax coming in from Zimbabwe that someone was actually repenting of their sin, had become a disciple, and were about to be baptized into Christ, and wanted to make sure my roles were updated. I mean, those faxes don't come my way. I mean, I didn't get an email from God that someone in Norway decided to become a disciple and was forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ and that God wanted to make sure that I had an answer to dumb questions. Oh, man. Do you really believe that God must consult with me, an eyelash, before he moves the kingdom? Stop asking me dumb stuff like that. But I am asked by disciples and none. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Even the disciples? It's scary, is it not? Hence our message tonight. We haven't even gotten to a title, and oh, beware. I am sad that the thought, I read my Bible, you know, I pray, blah. You know, it seems like people ask questions, it's on their heart, boom, out it comes to the question. Think about it and answer your own question. Do you think I'm getting those faxes or emails from God? The Bible says that it was David who was tempted by Satan to even take the census of who was in the kingdom of God and who was with him. Oh, gee, that was the work of Satan? Yes! Satan's working people well and asking me those silly questions. I am not consulted by God about how he moves his kingdom and where he moves it. Amen? Amen. I'm not qualified to answer the question. I don't answer the question. I will get bold after you because I haven't, unlike many of us, forgotten the basic fundamental elementary teachings. Okay? And therefore, because by God's grace we have this ministry, I am very bold. I'm aware it scares a lot of you chickens, but that doesn't bother me. I'll keep scaring you, but I haven't forgotten what I preached you from day one. Okay? Now, we get to our title, which is simply the Ministry of Last Resort. People have forgotten what we are, and may I remind you, we are, in fact, the Ministry of Last Resort. Okay? You think you're the last resort? What? Now, I guess the Ministry of First Resort would be if you walked out of your house, took a lap off the porch, and went for a little stroll. Well, I don't know, maybe a block or two, you'd probably find a place called church, quote unquote. Hey, man, I found myself a church that's right next door. That's probably the Ministry of First Resort. Why don't you go there before you come here? And why don't you go there and see what they have to offer before you come here? Really, do me a favor, okay? That would be the Ministry of First Resort. Maybe the Ministry of Second Resort is, well, you know, that one next door just didn't really help me. It didn't really challenge me. It didn't really change me. It didn't give me any more than I had. So I'm going to go to the, I'm looking around. Maybe the Ministry of Second Resort is where your parents go. Maybe Third Resort is like, I just need something more solid. Well, go to the biggest place then. How many membership are you? 8,000. All right, I got one 8,000, one 9,000. All right, I'll check the 9. There are plenty of places called quote-unquote church. Please, check them all out. The bottom line is, if you want to know what we are, and if the Holy Spirit's letting you know this for the first time tonight, count yourself lucky and blessed, amen, that you realize that this truly is, in fact, the Ministry of Last Resort. Because if you think you have other resorts out there, if you think you have other options, I am welcoming you tonight. Make no mistake about it. Run those options out before you come here. Okay? And another thing. People think I'm going to, like, give a message from God, and what I'm going to do is go ahead and make some sort of argumentative case so that no one can deal with any. You got to get careful before you come attacking something I've said by the Holy Spirit and get nervous about, well, are you saying, or do you believe? You know, you're going to have to read your Bible and see this was like Jesus' ministry. You're going to have to read your Bible and see that Jesus invited people to try other things before they came his way. You're going to have to read your Bible and see that, but I'm not going to argue that. We're not going to read that. You know, the truth is going to be proclaimed tonight, and amen. It falls how it falls, and I'm perfectly content with ears that hear here, and those that don't. What else am I going to do? Make you hear when you can't? I can't do that. I don't even get consulted. So I'm not going to make the argument that this is the Ministry of Last Resort. I'm letting you know as a favor. I'm proclaiming the fact. Okay, these are the facts. Whether you see them or not doesn't mean they're not facts. You know, did you see that score? It doesn't mean that game didn't go down. The fact is, we are the Ministry of Last Resort. And there are so many times in our hearts that we look at another so-called ministry, and another so-called church, and another so-called group of people following the Bible. And we wonder, now what have they got going on? Maybe I ought to check that out. Maybe it's not just what I'm doing now, but more. Hey, go check it out. Because when it all fails, and it will. How do you say that? Why don't you go prove me right now? And you go check it out. And then you prove it right. And when you are optionless, when you are out of, you know, Ministry 704 went down, You know, resort number 646 finally went out. We finally got that big popular place to flame out. Man, what am I going to do now? We'll always be here by the power of the Holy Spirit as the ministry of last resort. See, I don't want people coming here because they have to. I don't want people coming here because, oh, well, I got to go. Oh, no, no, no. Ministry Resort 1106, I think, is watch TV. And, you know, flip the channels and, my golly, a televangelist. Let's check it out. Maybe I can. I know people who say they go to church in front of the TV. It is an option. Go ahead and click it on over. And, you know, when that guy's reading out of his own book, don't worry. You just check it out. Make sure you're not struggling with anything and that's something. So anyway, Paul's ministry is what we're going to look at. His ministry was truly a ministry of last resort. Paul was sad. Paul was alone. Paul was not only alone, but lonely. Paul was spoken badly against. Paul was, in fact, living the ministry of last resort. And the fact is, he struggled as we will struggle. Okay? He struggled with everything we will struggle with, as I think we're going to see most of it right here, starting in Galatians chapter 1. And it was truly the ministry of last resort. And as he had doubts, he had to go visit those doubts to resolve them, always returning to the ministry of last resort, that being of Jesus. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul writes, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. All right? See, I am amazed that people want to know, where did you learn this? And who showed you this? Amen for your question. I know it's not a satisfying answer, particularly to the world and sometimes to my brothers and sisters. But the answer is, I want you to know that the gospel I preached is not something man made up. Okay, if you need a place where people are fancy, smart, come up with great stuff, man, that's a brilliant idea. You need to go elsewhere. Because this will never be a ministry of men's ideas. It will never be a ministry of something man made up. And if you need something more creative, you need some people who are more with it and more, you know, individualistic and more have more initiative, and you need that, you need to go elsewhere. Amen. You can come back one day, but you need to go resolve that, because nothing here man-made will be preached without being torched by fire. Those are just the facts. Okay? In the ministry of last resort, amen, there will be, God has declared it, Old Testament and New, amen, there will always be a place where the truth is preached. God will see to it. And we will do that. We will be the ministry of last resort voluntarily and by edict from God. And we are that, have been that, and will continue to be that. But if you got some issues out there and you think, well, I don't know, have you read about those, you know, historical church people, for some reason, people coming out of the woodwork challenging me about my knowledge of church heroes, historically. I'm like, that's a biblical fallacy, but amen. You go search those out. Yeah, you go search out Luther and Calvin and, you know, Hobbes while you're at it, I guess. You know, that's, amen, some of us get it. You know, you go search those people out. Woo, you return one day by the grace of God if you've resolved, woo, that was empty. And those people who made things up had nothing to offer. Verse 12, Paul goes on, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. See, we're all in those shoes who are disciples. Okay, if you're a disciple, you're in those shoes. Just bear with me. You don't have to flip out. It's like, you know, I can show you some scriptures. I can point out some sin. I can pray for you. I can love you. I can try to help you. But, you know, I can never go ahead and give you the touch of godly sorrow. You know, I can never put, like, you and the cross together and give you eyes to see. I can't do that. You actually are going to have to come to that conclusion and that revelation from Jesus Christ himself. Okay? How did that come about? well, so-and-so helped me here, and so-and-so said this, and this really helped, and finally, wow, I just saw it. I saw who I was, I saw Jesus on the cross, and I was done. I was broken, I was repentant, miraculously, and this was my life. Well, how did that happen? I want to know who taught you that. Well, so-and-so pointed this out, and they showed me this scripture, and boy, it all came together, and I was broken over my sin. Well, how did that? Hold on a minute, wait up. Let's talk about that little, you know what? It's revelation from Jesus Christ. And people want to know, who taught you this? And where did this come from? And what group are you associated with? You know, it's a great thing to be associated with the Holy Spirit and nobody else. Isn't that a great thing? I know it's an unsatisfying answer to the world. I know it's an unsatisfying thing. The ministry of last resort, because it will always stand by God's grace, will always frustrate the world. And the people looking for worldly solutions. This stuff happens by revelation. Deal with it. See, that's like, whoa, that sounds a little fast and loose. Revelation, confirmed by the Bible, amen, at a level deeper than you hear it elsewhere, amen, you're going to have to deal with it. That's how the Holy Spirit works. That's how the true ministry works. That's how it is. Well, amen. You know, if you need something a little more concrete, something a little more, I don't know, confidence-giving in who you're associated with, you need to go somewhere else. You need to go find a place that spent $10 million on a building. You know, they'll probably be there a while. You know, there probably won't come a time soon where they say, let's just forget the $10 million and live the Bible. You know, that probably won't happen. So go find a place. If you're looking for something that can give you some confidence, that it's just not kind of loose and going like the wind and this Holy Spirit revelation thing, see, that's not satisfying me. You people are far too wretched and you people are far too unpredictable, even though the Holy Spirit brought you all here tonight. Yeah, amen for that. You know, if you need some place that's going to be here today and tomorrow, you need to go somewhere else if that's what you need your confidence in. And I'd find a place that has spent a lot of money to be somewhere. Because they're probably not going to throw that away, not without it being in a public notice in the newspaper as required by the law. Please, that's what you need to find. You don't need a place where the Holy Spirit and the revelations of Jesus Christ run the show, because that's only in the ministry of last resort. You need a place that's been around a while. We have some lineage. Isn't that wonderful that the Bible points out that endless genealogies and arguments about them are totally sin, and yet that what people want to know are endless genealogies? Isn't that amazing? I mean, I don't know how you read your Bible. You're like, well, I don't, I'm not sure about that. They want to know, well, who taught you this and where did they come from? What school did they go to? What were their lineage like? I want lineage. I need heritage. I need background, tradition, something that shows me you're going to stay around a while. People are just insecure. And I say, take your insecurities, or circle the globe with them, find them unsatisfied. We'll be here as a last resort. Amen. Maybe then you'll be open to the truth, rather than giving you some sort of false confidence you're demanding. I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for your question. Well, how's it work here? The Holy Spirit, revelations from Jesus. Well, what if I have a different revelation than you? Hey, you know what? You know, you don't have to get nervous. You need to go somewhere else and check everything else out and come back. That's what you need to do. Hey, it's what Jesus taught him in Luke 9. Really? I've never read that. Well, maybe I ought to. Verse 13. So you need to go elsewhere if you need more confidence. If you need a greater confidence level, you just need to go elsewhere. Verse 13, Paul goes on, for you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I mean, that's Paul's life. It's like zealously persecuting the church, trying to destroy the church before he got converted. You know, here in the ministry of last resort, we're open about who we are. Hey, well, that sounds a little unpredictable. You used to do that. What's keeping you from doing that again tomorrow? Ah, the grace of God. Well, who's overseeing that? God. How? By revelations from Jesus Christ. You know, I need something a little more solid than that. Well, you need to go elsewhere where there's stuff more solid. No, the door's always open both ways. You need to go where something's more solid for you. You see, Paul is open about his life. And in the ministry of last resort, we are open about our lives. Even if it's ugly, oh, we haven't met anyone whose life isn't ugly yet. So, yeah, absolutely and 100%. You know, well what if, yeah, and then God, to his glory, makes it happen with people who are totally wretched and sinful. Amen. But the ministry of last resort is like that. Paul, open. Hey. For you have heard of my previous way of life, how intensely I persecuted the church and tried to destroy it. That's my heritage. That's my lineage. Those are my credentials. Yikes! Our credentials are similar. If you can live the Bible based on your niceness, go do that somewhere else. See, I can't live the Bible based on my natural niceness. I can't live the Bible based on my natural abilities to love people. But if you believe that you can actually live the Bible based on the fact that you're nice, and based on the fact that you just naturally love people, you don't need to be here. You need to go do that on your own. And go live where you can be nice, because here in the ministry of last resort, the true ministry of Jesus Christ, nobody's nice. Nobody has lived anything but total sin in their whole life up to the point of joining Christ. And if you think that you're just not as wretched as these people, well, amen. Go live your ministry based on your abilities to be nice and to live the Bible based on your own great heart. And you'll be back one day if God is graceful to you. And you'll say, amen. I'm a total wretch. It's been demonstrated to me in every way. Well, amen. Now you might have the right heart to join the right ministry. Well, amen. Verse 14. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Okay, Paul talking about his old life. I mean, he was moving and shaking and getting past people and extremely zealous for Allah, extremely zealous for the Old Testament, extremely zealous as a Jew, as a Pharisee, as a Hebrew of Hebrews, extremely zealous. You know what, though? Extremely zealous. Get you? See, people lukewarm in the world have a hard time in the kingdom because they've got a lot of lingering questions of, you know, what if I had really gone to school and done it seriously? Perhaps I might have found fulfillment in it. Well, you wouldn't have, but the penalty for not being extremely zealous in what you do is you've got all these lingering questions in you. And these lingering questions on you are like, well, what if I really gave school a try? What if I really did try my marriage with all my heart? What if I really, really did try to make more money and be happy that way? What if I really, really did do that AA program? What if I really, really did try harder at doing good deeds? You know, hold on now. It won't work because, well, you'll go find that out. See, you'll be like Paul. You go be extremely zealous for something other than here. Amen. And you'll be back to God's front door saying, I have no doubts but that extreme zeal for the law or extreme zeal for church resort number 644 or extreme zeal for my parents' church, or the most popular, or the richest, or those that have the most learned people. I have no doubt, because I've been extremely zealous for all of them, and I have no doubt, like Paul, this is not it. Well, amen. Then you can come on back, and you won't have those doubts. See, what happens when you're lukewarm, though, especially lukewarm in the world, and then you get in the kingdom, and you're like, well, I'm not so sure. Well, I don't know about that. Well, I don't think, who says that? You think you're always right? You know, what happens is you're kind of always like, you know, looking around at your other options. And it's like, well, I don't know. You know, go run those options out. And then go, well, I do know. I do know about those other options. And they are, in fact, empty. Okay? They are, in fact, no good. They're useless. And you'll know that because you will have, with extreme zeal, tried them and found them to be what they are. But many of us just kind of think about it or hedge on it. Well, I'm not sure. I'm inviting you to go live all the other options you think you have spiritually before you come here and can be here. I say that just because you will not be able to survive the winds and the fires and the torment and the temptations and the attacks of Satan otherwise. Because you'll always, I mean, Jesus said himself in Luke 9, he says, hey, he puts his hand to the plow and looks back. It's not fit for service in the kingdom of God. I mean, it's not something you can do. I mean, it's not a matter of, well, I've just got a better heart than you. I mean, that's never true. I've not met anyone nearly as wretched as me. But the issue is you're just not fit to serve God in the kingdom. Because it's like, maybe this is the way I ought to go. Well, amen, go do that, get that over with, because you're not fit to serve the kingdom. You've got to resolve your other options. You've got to resolve what else you think you can do. Paul did it with extreme zeal. Therefore, he had no question at the end. Amen. If you are not convinced that it's all about Jesus and being a disciple of his, you need to go try some elsewhere. And say, okay, amen. Amen. You know, go try Buddha. Go try Muhammad. You know, go try all the denominations. You know, go try this church, quote unquote, and that church, quote unquote. You know, go try them all. And then you can come back and you say, with extreme zeal, I have tried it all. And I got no more questions. And you'll be able then, qualified and fit, to put your hand to the plow and not look back, and therefore be fit for service in the kingdom of God. But too many of us are like, well, what about... Okay. And you're not immune. Okay, that's happened to me. I've dealt with my stuff. It's happening to some of you, and you're not dealing with it. Too chicken, I see. Extreme zeal is what's required. Otherwise, bark, 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 that'll be your life. Verse 15. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me so that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man. Hey, Paul had tried it all with great zeal, and when the time came for Paul to be called by God, he did not consult any man. And there was no need for him to consult any man. The fact was that Paul had tried it, and that was it. You know, it is an insult, an absolute insult, for you to be called by God, obviously in Jesus Christ. And it to be obvious, it's an insult for you to be called by God and to consult men. It's an insult to God. God is showing you something plain as day. God is demonstrating it to you. God is calling you. God is drawing you. And you have to go consult men? For what? Permission? Authority? It is an insult to God. See, Paul... People ask me, well, hey, aren't you getting with some people who kind of oversee you? I mean, all the time, people are asking me businesses, whatever, people were trying to reach out to. It's like, well, you know, do you have a letter from your deacon board to recommend you? I'm like, you know, man, you know, that's really gross. If I did, I hope I wouldn't get one. You apparently need a letter of recommendation. And Paul says, you know, I mean, Paul goes from persecuting the truth, killing Christians, with extreme zeal. He goes from that to the truth and consults nobody. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Realizing it would be an insult to God who finally called him at that time to then go, well, you know, God has called me and made it clear in every way. But what do you think I ought to do? And we are a what do you think I ought to do ministry. And you got to go elsewhere if you need permission from men. Okay. If you're someone who needs permission to live the Bible, you need to go elsewhere. Okay. If you're someone who that hasn't burned up yet, you know, it's still like, well, you know, I'm not sure. I want to consult with so-and-so and make sure I can live the Bible. You need to go elsewhere. You come back here and you won't slow anyone down because you won't have to consult people to live the Bible. Now, don't get nervous. I haven't forgotten the Bible. I'll still try to help you. Yeah, I mean, you know, does that mean we're no longer going to teach correct? Well, obviously not. See, I don't forget the Bible when we learn more. Do you? No, amen. Then don't get insecure. But if you need people to rubber stamp approve what you're going to do in Christ, you need to go elsewhere. Because there are people who will do that for you. Would you like some addresses? There are people who you will have to consult to breathe. And there are people you will have to consult to think. There are people you'll have to consult to believe what you just read. So, you're going to either be like Paul and live the Bible, or you need to go get rubber stamped by people who will be more than happy to rubber stamp your life. And may you return to the truth one day and say, that rubber stamping wasn't it. You know, walking along by the Holy Spirit is really it. Verse 17. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. It's like, geez, Paul. I mean, he could have gone to the other apostles, and he didn't. And he went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. You can read the book of Acts. What was he doing then? Preaching. Preaching? Yes, preaching. Didn't he just get converted? Oh, absolutely. And he was preaching. Ridiculed and mocked and continued preaching, growing more and more powerful. You know, if you don't want to preach, brothers, be careful. Brothers, I mean, if you don't want to preach what God has convinced you of and taught you, you may need to go elsewhere where you can just sit there and do nothing. Ooh, what? Are you kicking me out? Brother, I'm just telling you. You consult men and you sit on your hands and listen. You know, if that's too scary for you, you need to go elsewhere where you don't have to do that. But this is the kingdom of God. You've got to live the Bible here. And God lighted a fire under you, brothers, and you are smoking, and the smell is not good, burning flesh, you know. That is not good, and you're blaming honey for it. Yeah, what is that? Oh, boy, I'm being attacked by Satan. You man-consulting loser. I mean, do you really... you to Christ, broke you over your sin, and now you want to retreat from all that and make sure that you know, everyone's okay with what you're going to do, and you're forsaking the truth. You need to go elsewhere and do that. You can go, I can give you an address. You can, plenty of places you can go sit on your hands and pretend. Plenty of places you can go sit there and do nothing. Okay, You need to go there and see how that works out for you rather than do that here and think, well, the ministry's really not helping me. Amen. I think you need to go elsewhere and try another ministry that lets you sit there like a dunderhead and then have it not work, and may you return to the truth one day, preaching the truth that God gave you and saying, amen, this is it. Oh, amen, isn't it? Verse 18. Time passes here, but look. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. Whoa, what's up with that? After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. I thought you weren't consulting any man. Hey, you know what? In the true ministry of Jesus Christ, you'll be shouted in doubt. Doubt will come after you and questions will abound in you. It's all right. I mean, this is a Holy Spirit thing. You're bound to be confused. I'm not a spiritual guy in my natural self. I mean, I'm bound to be confused, right? I'm bound to be a little foggy and a little hazy. And so Paul himself is confessing, you know, after 3 years, I said, man, maybe I ought to go get with Peter in Jerusalem. And I just got to get acquainted with him. And you know what? Hey, this is just me. I think the Holy Spirit, you can search it out. It's probably maybe what you think as well or what God has shown to you. But I think Paul began to wonder. He said, you know, I don't have a salary. I don't have a parking spot. I don't have employees. I don't have men servants and maid servants. I don't have people bowing down to me. I don't have people respecting me, regarding me, loving me. You know, is this how it's supposed to be? Because I think Paul looked around and he said, you know, all these other quote-unquote preachers have a whole lot of this stuff. The creature comforts of religion. They got a whole lot of help and support. And I think I need to go see Peter. Is it supposed to be like this for me? How is it for you? And I think he was like, I need to go see if, you know, is there another resort? You know, could it be better than this? Could it be richer? In many ways. Not so lonely. Not so sad. I mean, not so discouraging and disappointing and persecuting and jail-ridden. And I think Paul needed to go see Peter to say, how does this work, Peter? I mean, how does this work? And he went to see him and stayed with him for 15 days and left. Verse 19, I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I'm writing you is no lie. We'll get to that in a minute. But you know, if you need annual conventions, you need to go somewhere else. If you need a quarterly seminar, you need to go somewhere else.
You know, Paul, at a time of need, 3 years into his ministry and after being converted, finally went to Jerusalem to get some things straight, no doubt, and to get acquainted with Peter, no doubt, and to learn from Peter, yeah, this is how it is. It's a thankless task. God is watching, and amen, but, you know, men don't care. And Paul says, I assure you before God that what I'm writing you is no lie. See, people didn't believe him. I've had those experiences recently with brothers and non-brothers of people not believing me. So I call in God as my witness. You know, may I be struck dead now if I'm lying. I mean, if people don't believe it. Paul, I don't believe you. How could you get this learning without sneaking around and getting with those other apostles in Jerusalem and them teaching you what to say? Because I've been a disciple for years and years and years, and I remember you when you were persecuted. I said, when you were there, when Stephen was stoned, I remember, and I don't have a clue of the revelations you're getting from God. Who's been telling you? They didn't believe it was from God. They didn't believe it was the Holy Spirit. They didn't believe Paul didn't get with anybody until 3 years after he was converted. They didn't believe that Paul just went there to get acquainted with Peter and didn't come with a whole bunch of Peter's books. You know, oh, please. And it was just a Holy Spirit thing, and amen it was. And he's like, hey, you know, before God, I'm not lying to you. Verse 22. Verse 21, later I went to Syria and Cilicia. Paul making rounds, amen. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? He's been preaching his heart out, going to jail, but you know what? He never made it on Oprah. Yeah, he didn't write a book about it and sell it worldwide. Unknown. Okay, we're going to see unknown in a minute. But it's like he didn't have a video, he didn't have like a slogan, he didn't have like a quote, he didn't have some sort of, you know, goofy, idiotic name for his little ministry, in other words, a false denomination, which there couldn't be a possibly true one. And he didn't have that, and so he's personally unknown after pouring his life out. Some of us want to be known. You need to go elsewhere. You're not going to be known here. Well, I've never really heard of your group. Oh, amen. You didn't see all our little pamphlets and leaflets and our patting ourselves on the back videos? I've never really heard of you guys. Well, amen for that. I'd be scared if you had. But some of us want to be known. We want to be regarded and respected. Paul was unknown. He'd been preaching for 3 years, and he's unknown to the disciples. Amen! You know, God didn't fax Paul at midnight either. Well, we got an update from Cilicia. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Here are some new brothers and sisters in Christ, and I went ahead and gave them your credentials. Police. Hey. Unknown. You need to be known? Try elsewhere. Go get known. Then come back here and say, I just want the truth. I'd be happy not to be known. Yeah, you will. Verse 22, or verse 23. They only heard, these are the brothers and sisters that didn't know Paul. They only heard the report, the man, who? Oh, the man. There's a guy out there. I'm not sure of his name. Well, didn't you read his autobiography? No, actually one was never made. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. Okay, amen. And they praise God because of me. Isn't it a great thing? They praise God because of Paul. If you want people to praise you because of God, you need to go elsewhere. Okay? This will be a ministry where people praise God because of you, not praise you because of God. And we do get confused. It's like, man, I'm not being appreciated around here. You know, the sad thing is when God's not being appreciated. In the ministry of last resort, we have no names, and we are known as the man who did the silly guy out there who used to persecute. And that's how well Paul was known. It's simply, there's a man out there who used to do this, and they praised God because of him. Okay? If you're not in the business of God being praised and you working anonymously, you need to go elsewhere. Get yourself straightened out. You'll be qualified to come back to the kingdom and do it right. Amen. Galatians 2, verse 1. Here we go again. 14 years later. Ooh. What happened? going to my annual convention. It's such an encouragement to me to go to the annual convention and the quarterly seminar. If you need an annual convention, a quarterly seminar, a monthly meeting, and a daily phone call, you let me know, and I can send you somewhere where you will get that. Amen. When that chokes out your life in Christ to non-recognizable levels, and you have only the mustard seed left to return to the truth, we'll still be here, nameless and faceless and praising God, and you can return here. But if you need more than that, if you need more than what God provides what you need, then you need to go elsewhere. 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem. This time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. Paul is in the middle, as we're going to see, of a faith crisis. A faith crisis? He's a spiritual guy. Now you're making me nervous. Hey, I've had many faith crises. You're going to have to start pretending not to have one of your own, or seems like two Paul had, maybe more, as he also wrote to Timothy. Amen. So if you're not up for a faith crisis, you're going to have to start believing a lie. You're going to have to believe some watered-down stuff. But anyway, let's get to this. 14 years later, and if you need something on a more regular basis, are they still in Jerusalem? It's 14 years. You know, some of us are like, man, I haven't talked to them in over a year. I'm sure they've moved. I need to stay more in touch. We need to be more close-knit and more in touch. You need to go elsewhere. Here you get led by the Holy Spirit. Here the Holy Spirit works things out. Here the Holy Spirit is in charge. Here revelations from Jesus Christ are what guide you, lead you, and hope and hold you. Not some sort of structure that you don't even need. And then it's like, man, I'm overscheduled. 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. You know, Barnabas was the son of encouragement. That's what his name meant. And Paul needed encouragement and took Barnabas with him. Amen. I took Titus along also. Titus, obviously, the one who Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, gave him peace of mind. And when he could not find Titus, he did not have peace of mind. He needed Titus. Amen. He needed Barnabas. He needed Titus. And he takes them along with him. Verse 2. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. Whoa! I remember Joe was sharing something in the Bible a couple weeks ago, and he said, oh, don't say that, Bible. And I was like, that's hard to swallow. Please, Bible, don't say that. It's like, Paul, 17 years in the Lord, thinks that he may be running or has already run his race in vain and is not in Christ. Now, you tell me if you want to depend on men or the Holy Spirit. You tell me if you need men or you need Jesus Christ. For when I have my next faith crisis, I hope you guys are all fine. Paul, we'll go through this. He went in response to a revelation, and he set before them the gospel that he preaches. You know, we set it forth plainly, and you need to set it forth plainly. We do too much hemming and hawing about what's in our heart, about what we think or what we feel. We're like, well, you know, let me think about how to say this. Don't think about how to say it. Just say it. We'll clean it up later. But you got to get open. And Paul went to them and he said, I set before them the gospel that I preach. He basically laid his heart out. This is the message that I preach. This is the gospel that I preach. There it is. Pick it apart. Tell me I'm lost. Tell me what I am. There it is. We have to do that. I do that. Do you? And just lay it out. That's the gospel we preach. Amen. He goes on, but I did this privately. I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders. You know, I was not a bull in a china closet running around scaring the flock. I was not a bull in a china closet spiritually bouncing around with people who were struggling in their own faith. People who were faithful because of what they saw in me. I'm not running around like, well, I'm not even sure I'm in the faith. I mean, you know, someone just came out of the water. Hey, amen for you, you know, but I'm 17 years in and I'm not sure anymore. But amen for you. Why? You're not sure anymore. You studied with me. Well, you know, he went to those who could handle him. You need to go to those who can handle him. Some of you need to think about who you email stuff to. Some of you need to think about who you can talk to, who you confess things to, and consider their spirituality before you dump your spiritual life on them that leaves them not able to handle it. You need to go to people who can handle it. And Paul did that. He had a sensitivity in his faith crisis, had a sensitivity not to ruin the flock with his doubts. Yes, he shared his faith. He did not share his doubts. He didn't go to Galatia, Cilicia, and, you know, I'm not sure Jesus is real. Let's see, what else can I say? This has all been a waste of time for me, perhaps. What else can I share? You know, you don't need to run around and preach your doubts. You do need to get open about your doubts, and you will have them. You need to get open about your faith crisis, and you will have them. But you do not need to run around ruining people who aren't going to help you anyway. And if you know, here's the thing. Here's the bottom line. We are very insecure. And if you need a doubt-free life in Christ, you need to go somewhere else. You need to go somewhere where, you know, people will always be there. And then you can know that they'll always be there. You know, or you need to just reinvent the Bible in a way that you can always hold on to it. You know, where what you understand is actually possessed by you and owned by you, and you have decided to agree with, rather than by revelation from God, which can slip out of your heart and out of your mind and out of your life. And isn't that scary? It's like, I don't even believe what I used to believe. Yikes! Right. I mean, if you want something that's fake and false, Paul obviously having a hard time here, you need to go somewhere else. But in the true ministry of Jesus Christ, you will have doubts. They ought to humble you. In the true ministry of Jesus Christ, you'll have doubts. They ought to help other people not put their trust in men. Amen. In the true ministry of Jesus Christ, you will have doubts. Amen. It's God's ministry, not yours. And amen that the man, Paul, isn't even sure he's in the faith after 17 years. Right. You know, that's how it is. Get used to it. If you don't like it that way, this isn't the place for you. Maybe you'll come back. Verse 3. Here we get good. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. Okay, we'll get into this in a minute. But something comes up. Titus is a Greek. Paul knows that he is a Greek. He is not a Jew. He's not been circumcised. And this whole issue is a firestorm going on around circumcision. It's no big deal. I just want you to know there's a controversy, okay? There's a controversy we'll look at more in a minute. But Paul takes Titus with him. What are you doing, Paul, taking Titus with you? He's going to take the brunt of it. Well, why? Because you're a Jew. Barnabas is a Jew. Titus is a Greek. And they're going to come after him fast and furious. Right. Right. We are putting Titus at risk. He will have to survive by the grace of God. Titus will be attacked. Titus will be tempted. Titus could go up in flames. I've had recent experiences with this, with Jonelle and Joe, actually. With Joe, who sat down with a totally religious heretic. And Joe tempted to soak down everything this false teacher taught. And yes, I sat down and I sent my emails and everything and I made full disclosure of everything this person said to me, to Joe. And put Joe at great risk spiritually. Why? Because Joe needs to stand by God's grace. Joe needs to be able to hear it. He needs to be in the position of Titus. He needs to take the attack and he needs to stand by God's grace and not by me protecting him from the person he reached out to. Isn't that the key? See, it's a person Joe was trying to help. It's a person Joe was loving. It's a person Joe wanted to help and could have cost him his soul. Titus needed this. If you don't want to be at risk, you don't want to be here. You will be at great risk here. If you don't want to be at risk, you don't want to be here. Same with Jonelle. She's in the middle of a study. She even confided in me that she may lose her faith in the power of God if it doesn't go well. Jonelle's at risk. She needs to get herself straightened out in the heart with the Bible, but she is at risk. There we go. We risk our brothers and sisters in the cause. Well, I don't want to do that. I want to be where we're all okay and it. Yeah. You need to go somewhere else. You may come back here after you realize that safe and happy isn't safe and happy. Verse 4. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. See, that has and will always happen here. What's going on here, Paul? Well, what happened is some false brothers infiltrated the true ministry of Jesus. They'll do that here. They have and they will. Okay? Well, I don't want a place where those people are coming around. Well, you need to go somewhere else. Let me tell you something. Just look up a denomination and go there. Satan's not bothering. There'll be no risk, no attack there. Okay? You go sign up. Oh, wow. Satan doesn't come around here. Oh, no. He's driving the boat, actually. You just can't see him. You'll never be at risk there. Some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ. To spy on. You know how you see a spy? How do I know when someone is spying? They have a lot of questions and no answers. They just got a lot of questions. Well, what about da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Do you believe such and such and such and such? What do you think about da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Well, you're not saying this, are you? Well, you don't mean that, do you? Well, so-and-so told me this. What do you think about that? You know, I haven't heard a saving message from you yet, infiltrator. Is there anything you'd like to share? Say? Well, what do you think of... They can't help it. They just got questions. Questions, 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 questions. And no answers. That's how you tell a spy. You can see them a mile away. Question, 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 question. And they spy on the freedom you have in Christ Jesus and make you slaves again. You got converted to Christ. And are you going to turn that in and become a slave again? I mean, that's a real deal for you. They will challenge you to forsake what you've become convinced of. They will challenge you to forsake what God has brought you through. They will challenge you to forsake the truth that you believed one day. They will challenge you to forsake the righteousness that God showed in your life that He could do in your life that you would have never believed. That's all going on. And it's false brothers infiltrating the truth and spying on the freedom you have in Christ with one goal, to make you slaves again. We are hunted in this ministry. You will always be hunted in this ministry. And if you don't want to be hunted by Satan, you need to go elsewhere. Go get unsatisfied somewhere else and come back and say, amen, I will be at risk. I will be hunted. I will be nameless. I will be faceless. Amen, isn't it getting good? As we get down to the bare stuff of what you're about. Who are you about? You need to go run out your other options. I am optionless. I have no alternatives. There are no resorts available. There's only one truth. Amen. Yeah, you go through the list. It's pretty easy, pretty straightforward. You go through it, and that's what this ministry will be made of people who have resolved. That's it. They've tried everything else zealously. Verse number 5. Galatians 2, verse 5. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. Some of my own brothers. Hey, brothers. You be careful. Even my sisters, too. Some of my brothers and sisters are amazed and a little bit off-put and put off and disappointed and a little puzzled and a little questioning because not for a moment do I give in to the false infiltrators. And you think, man, you're closed up. Man, you're not open. Man, you don't listen. Not for a moment will I let the spy get a foothold. Not for a moment. That's what he says. We did not give in to them for a moment. I don't need to go to your annual convention. I don't need to rub spiritual elbows with you to make you think I'm a nice guy. I will not give in to you and your false infiltrating, spy on, make us slaves again, false gospel for a moment that the truth might remain with you. Okay? That won't happen. You'll always have a chance to know the truth. God will see to it. I'm not so much talking about me. God will see to it the truth is preached, that you will always have the opportunity to do it. And God will always let the truth be preached that you might see it. And I can tell you, I'm not inclined at all to give in for a moment to total, absolute, idiotic silliness that people come to me with and think, trying to find some ground on which I'll agree with them, and I'm fighting them off at every turn, and they're like, man, you just seem real exclusive. You just seem really like it's all about you. Hey, don't forget what I've told you before. Remember when we started one mediator and all that. I haven't forgotten. You don't need to forget and get nervous. But do you think maybe Trent forgot and he's like full of himself now? Oh, you know, I'm wretch of wretches, but I haven't forgotten those things. And God will make that obvious if I do. Okay? Not for a moment did Paul give in to them that the gospel might remain with Titus, who made it through the flames, with Barnabas, who made it through. Amen. Verse 6. As for those who seem to be important, remember, Paul went to Jerusalem for spiritual crisis after 17 years in the Lord, 14 years after his last visit. Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's get back to that. How did that go? As for those who seem to be important, which really is Peter, James, and John, by the way, whatever they were makes no difference to me. Well, what do you think about Billy Graham? He makes no difference to me. Man, you're stubborn. Oh, okay. Paul talking about Peter, James, and John, the pillars of the church, and he says, those who seemed to be important, as if to say they weren't really important. They just looked that way. And whatever they were makes no difference to me. Man, that is submissive to the Holy Spirit and revelations from Christ and consulting no man. God does not judge by external appearance. Well, that's God's attitude on it. Those men added nothing to my message. What did they add? I went to the Baptist church, and then I tried the Reformed Baptist. I tried Catholic, Presbyterian, Episcopalian. I tried Islam. I tried Buddha. I tried it all. And what did they add to your message? Nothing but lies. In the case of Peter, James, and John, amen, by the Holy Spirit, added nothing. Okay. Didn't add lies, Peter, James, and John, certainly in the faith, preaching the very same gospel, though they'd never met. Well, how did that happen? Oh, I think it's how it's supposed to happen, the Holy Spirit and the revelations from Jesus Christ. Oh, is that how it happens? Yes, but you know, they added nothing to my message. If you think, if you need some fancy ideas, you need some new scriptures, you need some new ideas, you need something more than just the Bible, because it's just not, you need to go elsewhere. Go get your fancy ideas. And you will, if God is graceful to you, say one day, nobody added anything to the message I learned at first. Nobody added anything to the message I learned. They added a bunch of slave tactics. They added a bunch of false stuff and traditions of men and teachings of men. But they added nothing to my message. And Paul was then able to move back to Jerusalem, or move back to all over the world, his doubts resolved. Ah, yes, amen. The ministry of last resort is this ministry in Galatians 1 and 2. It was also the ministry of Peter in Jerusalem. That's how Paul knew he could always go there. He just goes to Jerusalem. It's not like he can make a phone call. Is Peter still there up there? Did his number change? He can make a phone call. He's got to go there, knowing the ministry of last resort is always available. God always holds on to a remnant. God always has it. And for those of you who need a fancy idea, you go find your fancy idea. May you return to the truth and say, you know what? Nothing was added to my message. You get converted to Christ. You live the Bible. You have doubts. You resolve those doubts biblically. I'm telling you, go find out. You go see. You go see. Really? What are you saying, brother? I'm saying go see. You got doubts? Go see. And when God is gracious to you, you'll return and say, they added nothing to my message. I remember when Michael moved here. It took forever for him to get here. He moved here. And I said, brother, if you think there's a 1 in a million chance that you can thrive spiritually in North Carolina, you need to move back to North Carolina today. Don't even unload the U-Haul. If there's 1 in a million chance, And I say the same thing to you. If you think there's a 1 in a million chance that you can live the Bible somewhere else, somewhere where they're not going anywhere, somewhere where you get your name known, somewhere where the creature comforts are there, where you're not alone and sad and lonely and struggling and battling. Hey, those are ministries of first resort. I'm telling you, if you think there's a 1 in a million chance of you living the Bible elsewhere, please, I'm encouraging you, go live there. And go live the Bible there. Because this is a ministry of last resort, where people have to come through flames, where people are put at risk constantly, where people are hunted by Satan, where people are unknown, where people are doubt-filled and will be again 17 years after conversion. If you think there is a chance at all of living the Bible elsewhere, go do it. When you then, having been zealous for that, realize there's not, you can come back here, the ministry of last resort, and you'll have no shoulder to look over. You'll not even be tempted to look over your shoulder because you'll be resolved. This is it. This is it. I don't want this to be a place where people have to come. I don't want this to be a place where people, you know, are going to get in trouble if they don't come. This was never that. It's not that now. If you feel that in your heart, you need to do what you do. It's a ministry of last resort. There are no guarantees. There are no promises. You know, there's no people to rely on. It's a ministry of last resort. Amen. That's what we are. That's what you're a part of. Don't oversell the ministry as the, oh man, milk and honey. It's not. You know, it's Paul's ministry in Galatians chapter 1 and 2. It's Peter's ministry in Jerusalem. You can read his writings on your own. Look in the book of Acts. It's no good. That's how it is. If you think the milk and honey can be lived and the Bible maintained, hey, I'd go do that tomorrow. I'm convinced it can't. That's what brings me here. So you check your own heart. In Jesus' name we'll pray.